The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are Mates and Masei. This evening we'll dwell on the first topic, which is in Parshas Matis. Vayedaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatis l'bnei Yisrael l'emor. Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes of the Bnei Yisrael, saying, Zeh hadover asher tziva Hashem, this is what Hashem has commanded. Ish ki yidor neda l'Hashem, if a person takes a vow to Hashem, or yishov ha-shvua, or he takes an oath, Leso Isar al Nafshoi, where he prohibits something upon himself, which is allowed, but he prohibits it upon himself. Lo Yachel Dvore, he shall not break his word. Kechalayetz bipiv yaseh, whatever comes out of his mouth, he must fulfill. And then the Parsha goes on to great detail to tell us the halachas of nedarim and shvuos, vows and shvuos, and oaths. We have also what is known as nidrei mitzvah, where it's a mitzvah, and so forth. The word lo yachel dvorei, which means he should not break his word. The Targum says lo yevatel pisgomei. He shall not break his word, is a strange word. And Rashi says it comes from the word chulin. Lo yechalal dvorav. Lo yaseh dvorav chulin. What is chulin? Chulin is when you take the kedusha, the sanctity, away from something. Coincidentally, the yeshiva started Masechta Chulin. But it's called chulin because there's what is known as technically the name of Masechta Chulin is not really just chulin, but by the Kadmonim, by the early commentaries, it's called Shchitas Chulin, and Zvochim was called Shchitas Kochim. That means when you come to slaughter an animal which is not Kodesh, that is an animal to be eaten. And another Masechta Zvachim was known as Shchitas Kochim, when you would come to slaughter an animal that was sanctified for a korban, for a sacrifice. So chulin, the word chulin means something which the kedusha, this sanctity, was taken away from it. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with it, chulin. We have the word Hamavdil min Chol LeKodesh. The Sheish Yishumeich Malocha, the 6 days of work, are called Chol. And Shabbos is called Kodesh. So it doesn't mean something's wrong with it. It means, though, that the Gedusha, the sanctity, has been removed from it. And actually, the grammarians go further, that the word Chulin comes from the word Cholol. And Cholol, or Chalolo, Cholol, means something which is empty. You have removed the kedusha from it. Actually, it's interesting to note also in Loshon HaKodesh that the body of a dead person in the Torah is referred to as a cholol. Al chalolim, al chalalehem, because there also, because the kedusha, or what was in the body, soul and so forth, the life has been removed from it. Also means like a vacuum. So one should not desecrate his vows or his nedarim, because he is removing the sanctity from his words. He makes them into chulim. Now, from here we see that a person's words can have kedusha. They can have sanctity in them. Because the Torah is telling us that if you make a vow, it's sanct, it's kodesh, and you must not remove the sanctity. And this is what is known as the Mori B'Alma, just words. There's been no signing of a contract. This is not, there's no written document. There is, he did this not in front of witnesses. The fact is, by a neder or shvua, he can do it in his own privacy, b'nei levatzmai, just between he himself. And still we see, even though it's dibur b'alma, it's just talk, the words carry, as if they carry a soul, the neshama. And you have to be careful not to break it, otherwise you will desecrate that what's in it. In this particular case, you're making a vow to Hashem. Now, the perspective and the outlook of the world, we are aware of, is not the same as the outlook of the Torah. And in many, many things. But perhaps in this particular instance that we're referring to, this particular subject of Dvorim B'Alma, I would say that the world has distanced itself to the ultimate, especially in our generations, than to that of the values and perspective of the Torah. Here we're referring in our generation, not only between talk between man and his fellow man, but today we live in the time of mass media and high tech. We live where we're constantly bombarded and flooded under storms of the spoken word and the written word. We have non-stop DSTV dishes, videos, discs, CDs, internets, emails, cell phones, faxes, websites, of which billions of words pass through non-stop. But aside, besides the conventional radios or movies, all of the newspapers that are being published, magazines, and the books, who can count the spoken word and the written word, which takes place every day in the Western world? And these are just words, talk. Now, according to the Torah and according to the sages, there could be a greater error. Divo Shalodom, the words that man speak and the words that man write. But speech we'll see is even a higher level than what a person writes. There can be almost nothing greater than that and carry greater consequences, either for good or for bad, than this. Shlomo HaMelech wrote, King Solomon, and he was the wisest of all men, so we have to listen carefully to every word he says. He wrote in Mishle, Yudches Chof Aleph, Movis Bechaim Biyad HaLoshon, death and life is in the hand of the tongue. Now when he writes, he's not writing like other people write, meaningless statements. If he says death is in the hand of the tongue, that's what it means. If he says life is in the hands of the tongue, this is what he means. And he who loves to speak, loves what the tongue can do, will eat of its fruits. He will either have fruits of life, or heaven forbid, fruits of death. From here we see what the tongue beholds. What does it mean, the spoken word? Secondly, we see that it's not just a question that the tongue can bring death, it can bring life also. And thirdly, he refers to it as peiroseho. Ve'ahaveho yechal pirio. Those who love the spoken word, they will consume its fruits. He calls it fruits. Because speech is the fruit of man. The Maral says this is why we find it is called Niv Svasayim. Niv is from the word Tenuva. Tenuva means the fruit. It's the actual product. It's the greatest product of man. Now, the subject of this shiur is not Loshon Hara, even though this posuk is always brought in regards to Loshon Hara by the Gemara and so on. That's not the main subject of the shiur. So I don't want to elaborate on that. But we will mention it. The Rambam brings in the end of Hilchos Deos. Perek Zayin, he lists four categories which are related to Loshon Hara. In other words, what a person can do with his tongue. He starts by saying, "Amaragel bechaveire, eve beleisase." First he refers to tale-bearing, gossiping and tale-bearing, which the Torah refers to as leiselech rochel ba'amecha. You shall not be a tale-bearer. You should not go from one to the other carrying information in your nation. What kind of information? Information that causes machlekes. Information that causes fariblech. Now one would see, well, so what's the big deal? So he talks a lot. And especially in the high-tech society, it's very easy. The Rambam says, even though there's no corporal punishment on it, it's a very, very great aveira. V'gorim laharing nefoshes rabbeis b'Yisrael. And it causes the death of many, many people in Israel. Therefore, the Torah writes immediately by it, you shall not stand idly by when your fellow man is dying. The case of Doag HaAdomi, with Shaul and David HaMelech, We do not have time this evening to go into that. We've mentioned it many times. But that was a case where because Doag said something. And now here we're not talking about speaking negatively about someone. He didn't speak negatively about someone. There was nothing negatively that he spoke about Achimelech, who gave food to David. The fact is, it was admirable what he did. But he said, he gave over information that had the ability to cause anger from Shaul to David. That's all he did. because of that, he lost both worlds. Shaul had the entire city of that Kahanim slaughtered. And that was one of the Avedas that because of that, Shaul lost his kingdom for he and his sons. So that's what the Rambam says. Do not look at this as just words, lightly. Gerim l'harag nefoshes rabbis b'Yisrael. It causes many, many deaths in Israel. And it was true what he said. It wasn't false information. He says, Afa pishu emes, harizem machri v'solem. He says, even though it's true, it destroys the world. If you look in today's society, giving over information that causes faribu, causes machlekes. This is what the newspapers are. This is what the magazines are. This is what the ongoing nonstop DSTV, television, whatever. Then the Rambam says a second category, Yeshavim Godel Misa. But that's not the worst. There's an Avera even greater. Admiyad. Very, very great. Vubechla Lavzer, Vu Loshin Hora. And this is what a Loshin Hara is. Vuamasapa Bignus Chavele. This is where you speak detrimentally, negatively about a person. You speak against a person's reputation. You say he's this, he's that, he did this, he did that. Again, we're speaking about something that's true, though. Afal Pishu Omar Emes, even though it's true. But you tell someone about a person that's negative. He says this is far greater than the first category of Rechilas. Then he says a third category. Avalim is sheker. What happens if you say something negatively about a person and it's a lie? You spread rumors which are not true. You know, in the society today feels that they have a right to spread slander on someone as long as it's true. Well, that's Loshon Hara. What happens if you spread slander on someone and it's a lie? He says that's a third category. That's even worse from many perspectives. And that's called Metzi Shem Ra'achavere. Then he says there's a fourth category. And that's what is known as Baal Loshon Hara. Baal Loshon Hara is a person who does it constantly. Constantly he speaks against a person, against the person's reputation. This is what he did, this is what his father was, this is what he once did. Constantly does it, Anera Kodesh Baruch Hu cuts him off from the nation. And he loses his world to come. Now this is all with just words. Just words. Another example of just words. Also something that we're very aware of. Einos Dvorim. Einos Dvorim is not where you harm anyone's reputation, but where you say something to another person that hurts him. Hurtful talk. And certainly insulting or talk that you shame him. This is another person, one person to another, or a person to his wife, or vice versa, or even to his children, in a situation where one is not allowed to do so. And again, that's not the topic of this shiur. We've given shiurim on that. We're just making mention of it. But on that, the Gemara says, Kol ha'shiurim ninolim chutz mishari einah. that even when all the gates are closed to a person's prayer, but if he's been hurt by someone through words, and he cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, and he takes revenge. And certainly, if the one that you have said these hurtful words to is from the umlolim, from those who are downtrodden, those who are down-spirited. For example, the ger, the yosem, the almona, the convert, the orphan, the widow, the poor. Well, there the Gemara says the onesh, the punishment is very, very great, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aviham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father of the downtrodden. And certainly, what the Gemara says is where you shame someone or insult someone, and it's public, and the Gemara calls him a ritzeach. He's a murderer. But dvorim, dibor, only talk. You know, the whole game of politics is trying to publicly insult someone, or publicly embarrass someone, or publicly distort or destroy someone's reputation. Then we go to another category, which we're all aware of, sheker. It's not true. If a person testifies, edu sheker, person testifies, and it's false testimony, that's part of the Yudibris, that's part of the Aseres Yudibris of the Ten Commandments. If a person makes an undertaking to another person, and just with words, he gives his word. I'll do this for you. He gives his word. And there's no written word, no document, no handshake, and no witnesses. And he backs off of it. Later on, the person says, but you promised me this. He says, yes, but I've changed my mind. I said I would do it, but I have a right to change my mind. The Gemara says, Mutar L'Kreis HaRosho. You can call him a Rosho. Now, to call someone a Rosho, according to the Gemara, if Reuben calls Shimon a Rosho, Shimon can take him to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din can punish Reuben. But here, Mutar L'Kreis HaRosho. You're allowed to call him a Rosho, and in such cases, you can publicly call him a Rosho. You have a right to go around and tell people, this is a Rosho. It says, because, and this person is not acting as a Jew, it states. Because Sheirish Yisrael. Yisrael will not do such a thing. But the person said, but I never signed the contract. I said I would do it. Well, it has to be where he seriously says he will do it. But he never did it. He says, it's just words. That's all right. It's a verbal commitment. And you're a Rosh if you don't keep it. Today, in this world, the business world, they tell me that you can have 100 contracts, they'll try to get out of it. But everyday cases. Now, all of these things also is very, very, very important. That this has to become inbred in a Jew. And it was inbred in the Jews of the past generation, but unfortunately, today we are becoming absorbed with the values of the world around us. The Gaon, Vilna Gaon, when he left instructions for his family, because he was going to Eretz Yisrael, until he could bring them over, the trip was aborted. But he left instructions, he emphasized over and over, these are things you must teach the children when they're young. And he says, don't listen to these fools that tell you, but they're just youngsters, it doesn't mean anything. Because if they're not going to learn it now, they'll never learn it. I hear go shelet al kol dover. It's how you bring up a person. And he says, you have to be tough on them. Never allow them to lie. Never allow them to say Loshon Hara. Never allow them to say things which bring machlekes. And if they say they're going to do something, they have to do it. Today, tefker means nothing. means nothing in society, in the home, in the school. Then when it comes to sheker, to lying, well, that we saw now with the Dorim and Shavuos, mitzvahs leisase and mitzvahs esse. But we see further. So far we've been speaking about where it's relevant to you made an undertaking to someone, or you accepted upon yourself a vow, or you're giving testimony. You see that the Gemara was makpid. The Gemara was totally against even sipor dvorim bi'alma, even when you say things which it's not going to hurt anyone. To the contrary, for example, the Gemara brings in Shuvas Beishamai, when the Gemara said Ketza Meraktin Bifnei Hakala, when you are Mesameach Chosen Vekala, and what should you say? How should you praise them? Because the mitzvah of Simchas Chosen Vekala is to praise the Kala in the eyes of the Chosen, or vice versa. So Beisilo said you must say what a beautiful Kala she is. She's so beautiful. And Beishamai says, what happens if she's not beautiful? How can you say it? Midvar sheker tirchok. The Torah said you must distance yourself from lying. And therefore Beishamai says you're not allowed to do that. Now there were we. You didn't make an undertaking to her. You're not giving testimony in court. You're not taking upon yourself a vow. And to the contrary, you make her feel good. You make the chosen feel good. Still Beishamai said, no, it's a sheker. And the Torah said, distance yourself from sheker. And even Beis Hillel that permits it, it was only for a specific reason. Because he said, you don't have to say that she is so beautiful that she'll win the Miss South Africa or Miss Universe. You have to say she's so beautiful and refer it to the Chosin's eyes. In other words, the Chosin sees her so beautiful. If he didn't, he wouldn't marry her. In his eyes, she's the best. You see? So therefore, what did he say? He didn't say you're allowed to lie. He says, therefore, it's not a lie. It's not a lie. But if it would have been, except there are certain places the Torah permitted one to lie. But otherwise, even in Dvorim B'Yalma, you're just talking. But Shammai says, no. And the Gemara tells us, Dalet Kitais Einun Mekablin Pnei Hashchina. There are four groups that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't come near me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to come near people, there's four types of people he stays away from. And one is Kat Shakronim, those that tell lies. Because it's contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it states Kesom Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prides himself that his banner is truth. How can he associate with liars? The Kotzker Rebbe would say that in the Torah, in the Gemara, we have many times harchokos. Harchoka means to distance yourself from an avera. The chachomim went, when the Torah said, this you're not allowed to eat, the chachomim would say, we have to make a harchoka. We have to even forbid you, even from a broader perspective, so you shouldn't even come close to the iser. He says, all hachokas are mid rabbonin. All hachokas in the that we find, the rabbonin, they decreed it, except one. That's midvar sheker tirchok. There the Torah said, not that you shouldn't say a lie. You should distance yourself from anything that is close to a lie. There you see the Torah made that. This is what he would say. And the past generations were so careful. They tell him the story of the Chemde Shlema. This is a story I heard from the Rav Utna Zichein the Baruchah. The Chemde Shlema was a great Rav. He lived in the time of Rabbi Kreger, the Nesivas. He was the Rav of Warsaw. And at one time, he came to a simcha, and they were serving, you know, a drink, a l'chaim, schnapps, and some cake. And he was engrossed, talking and saying over some divrei Torah to the person next to him, or whatever. And he took, and there was fruit there. And he took some fruit, and made a bracha and ate it. And then there was a person next to him, and he says, Rebbe, aren't you supposed to make a bracha on the mezainis first? The cake, you should make a bracha first. You should eat the cake first. Isn't that the halacha? He didn't want to say, I don't want any cake. Because in those days, what was a simcha? Not like today, a simcha was schnapps and some cake and some fruit. It would mean like he doesn't want to eat at the simcha. He doesn't want to say, I don't want any cake. And he had forgotten. At that moment, he didn't pay attention, and he had forgotten to take the cake first to make the broch on it. He didn't want to tell him that either, because he felt that would be a chil Hashem. He was the Rav of the city, and he's not careful in halachas. So he said, "Ich esse nicht cake." He says, "I don't eat cake at all." But it wasn't true. From that day on, he never ate cake. That was the story. From that day on, he never ate cake, in order that it should not have been a lie. See, this is what the old Jews were. So we see even more when it comes to just words, what that means. With words, we find that you can communicate to others, and even to the generations. You can create a bond. For example, Vishinantam Levanecha, you shall teach your children Vidibalta Bom. You shall speak to them. What are you doing? You're creating a bond of Torah between yourself and your children, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to the future generations. The whole Torah is full of Yadaber Moshe. And Moshe said, here it states, Vayedaber Meisha Rosh Yamates. The whole Torah, Vayedaber Meisha, Meisha spoke. Meisha spoke. Vayedaber Hashem, Hashem spoke. The mitzvah, the great mitzvah, we have a mitzvah that you shall never forget the going out of Egypt. And I took you out of Egypt, Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach. To give over the story of the going out of Egypt with words. The mitzvah Bikur Cholim, to go visit someone that's sick. The mitzvah is to do whatever you can for him, take care of him, and so on. But one of the greatest perspectives, aspects is to lift up his spirits. It's brought. He's down, lift him up. Nichum Avelim, the purpose is to comfort him. Many ways to comfort him, but one of the greatest ways is to lift up his spirits, make him happy. Simchas Chosan Akala, the Gemara brings the greatest part of Simchas Chosan Akala is to praise them, talk of them, talk about them, talk about how wonderful this person is and that person is. Chizu Chaveri, the Samachai, the Gra in the same letter, writes that one should constantly say words of simcha to the other to lift up their spirits. That's one of the greatest mitzvahs. This is all with words. Yerushalayim, Pasuk Malachi, Gimel Tezayin states, Oz Nidbaru Yiras Hashem, Yirei Hashem, Ish Eldrehu. One person who fears Hashem will speak to another. Speak. In other words, when one speaks to another about how to do good things. See? Sit down. Chofetz Chaim writes, when you come to a simcha, you come to a gathering, be careful who you sit with. You could sit down to next to one person, and they'll talk Lashon Hara the whole time. Then it would have been better, far better, that the person would have never gone. Sit down with another person, they could talk about, bring up topics which create jealousy. That's why the Gaon was very, very afraid of his daughters going to shul. What will they come home with? Come home with the latest news, the latest things that they don't have. Hakina, Vahataiva, or Covid, lust for glory. Mitzinus Adamin Olam, this destroys a man. Everybody says, oh, let's not go to the extreme. The extreme's the other way. This destroys a person, this agency. We see it destroys a world. Sit down with another person, you make machlekes. Sit down with another person, and they talk while someone else is davening in shul, or they desecrate the Beis HaMidrash, or the Beis HaKnesses, or they talk while someone is speaking or giving divrei Torah. So you must choose your company carefully. Sit down next to another person, and they say, you know, so-and-so has lost his job. Can you do something for him? He says, yes, maybe I can. Maybe I can help him out. You've just built a world. That's the highest level of stalker possible. With words. Or you talk about, why don't you send your son? Why don't you get a teach more your son? Or whatever. Talk about divrei Torah, divrei mitzvahs, yeres Hashem. So it states, oz nidbaru yerei Hashem, speak. So don't not talking. Don't give any money, don't sign any checks, nothing. When two people come together and they speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business, El Rehu, Bayak Shev Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. They're talking Machlekes, it says, that's Mesalekes HaShechina. Then he leaves. He's not interested. If they're talking in a Beis HaKnesses, Mesalekes HaShechina, they leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shkorim, this thing, even Dvorim Betalim. If they're talking idle conversation, he says, look, I'm too busy. He hears this talk. Vayak Shev Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops and listens. Vayishma. He pays heed and he listens to what they're saying. So it states three things. Vayakshev, he pays heed. Vayishma, he listens. Vikosev, he writes it down. Sefer Zikor and Lefonav, he writes it down. Vayirei Hashem alachesh veshmai, to those who fear Hashem and who respect his name. This is a posik in Malachi Gimel posik Tezai. What did they do? Talk. Talk is not so simple. Okay. But we find it even further, the power of speech. It states when one learns, when he's learning the Girso, when he's Iyun, he's thinking over all of the Sforas, that's not. But when he's learning the Girso, when he's learning the text, It states he must not learn quickly and only with his eyes and his mind. But it states, Arichos Fosayim. He must pronounce the words. Pronounce the words. This is in the Mishnah Novus and the Memchest Vorim Shateir Niknes Mehem. This is one of the conditions that a person needs if he wants to acquire Torah. And this is in the Gemara and Erevin. Must pronounce the words. Gemara brings a case of Bruria, Ramea's wife. She was passing by someone learning. And he was learning and he was just mumbling. She gave him a kick. She says, that's not how you're supposed to learn. Okay? That's not how you're supposed to learn. But Arichas Fosayim, you're supposed to pronounce the words. Now, it's not speaking that you have to shout the words in the Beis HaMedrash. It's not talking, that's not it. It says you have to pronounce the words even though nobody hears them, but you hear them. In other words, verbalize and enunciate. This is a halacha also by tefillah. It says when you daven, many halachas. Not supposed to just daven b'machshava. But you have to enunciate the words, chituk sfasayim. Enunciate and verbalize, even if mashmila is not, even if you're the only one who hears what you say. Oh, we see further, it says, Eina teira nikne ela b'chabura. Torah is only acquired with a chaver. That's besides the fact what one can learn from the other, aside from that. Because then you have to verbalize the words one to the other. Or it says, Kola eina yesh me rabbe b'kol rom, whoever, not b'kol rom, b'chol keichai. Kola eina yesh me rabbe b'chol keichai, whoever answers yesh me rabbe with his whole keach. So it states great brachas. Peskin leishari Gan Eden. The gates of Gan Eden will open to him. Or he can have brachas for himself for 70 years and so forth. So the Maral says, what does it mean with all of his strength? Some learn with, to shout it. He says, it doesn't say, b'kol rom, to shout it. So what does it mean with all of his strength? Some say with great kavona, great intent and sincerity. He says, it doesn't say, b'chol kavona, b'chol kavanosai. So what does it mean, b'chol keichai? He says, to enunciate the words, even if just you hear it. To enunciate and verbalize the word. Now, what is this all about? I mean, this is, you're not talking to someone else, you're not. This is not a question of communication or so forth. What does this have to do? Because, the Maral says, and as he will explain in a minute, there's a difference between machshava and dibur. If you don't enunciate the words, if you don't verbalize it, then it's machshava, it's thought. It's not dibur. Dibur has to be not only where you communicate it to others, that's for sure, but even where you communicate it to yourself through dibur, through speech. If someone thinks of Yehishmer Abba, or if someone mumbles it, it's not, you're not speaking. You have to speak it. And that's the same thing with Dibrei Torah. Excuse me. Now, we can even go further. Is a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, the Gemara is referring to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Or le'aber osa, on the eve of the 14th of Nisan, that's the eve of Erev Pesach, Beit Kines HaChometz, you search for the Chometz. The Gemara says, the Gemara asks, why does it say Or La'arbosa, which means the eve, the evening? Why does it say Lil Arbosa, the night? So we have two words to denote the eve, Laila and Or. Why does he say Or? Tanu didon my time liktoni lille lishnema al yohodanokot. So the answer is because Or is a nicer word. To refer to night, which is darkness, is not such a nice word. Now, chas v'sholom, not that there's anything wrong with it. It's in the Torah, it's in the Nevi'im, it's in the Ksuvim, sages use it. But the Or is a nicer word. Okay, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Domer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, La'olam al yetzi odem dover magunem epiv. A person must be always careful not to say words which are not as nice as can be. And then he says, because we find that in a number of places in the Torah, when the Torah wanted to mention that this is Tomei would mean something which is defiled. It wouldn't say it's Tomei. But by this animal is defiled, it wouldn't say it's his Tomei. He would say, Eina Tohor. It's not pure. In other words, if you could say this is defiled, or this is not pure, the Torah chose in many places to say this is not pure. Even though there's nothing wrong with Tomei, because in many places the Torah said Tomei. And the Gemara brings us a number of cases on that. Then the Gemara says, Tanya debei Rabbi Shmuel leila misapa adam beloshin nekiyo. A person should always choose words which are dignified and which are of a higher level. It brings a posuk, Ativcha loshin arumim. You should use calculated words. Das fosai borum molalu. And it brings a number of sources. And another example the Gemara brings is because we see in some places where the Torah wrote that someone was riding a camel or riding a donkey or whatever it might be. So on the, it was referring to a man, it said he was riding it. It was referring to a woman, it said she was sitting on it. Because riding has the connotations of spreading one's legs, and that the Torah tried not to mention by a woman. Now again, the Gemara says not that there's anything wrong with these words, because we find in many places the Torah used it itself. And where it was necessary, the Torah did. And if it was to teach it in a clearer fashion, the Torah did. But where you have the choice, the Torah always chose the best possible word. Now the Gemara says, well, for sure the Torah must, because the Torah is the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the language which he created the world in. The Gemara says, no. We find that Rabbanan also did that. He brings many cases in the Rabbanan. All right. Okay, that was the rabbis. See? Then the Gemara says, now, we find, bring sources, even when you're in the marketplace, even when you're dealing in mili de alma, in mundane things. Now we're talking about all of these words are kosher words, 100%, because we can find them all in the Torah. But still, you must carefully calculate your words and use the best possible word where you can. And the Gemara goes further. And the Gemara says, a person should always use Loshen Kovid. See, it's saying Loshen Noki, Shon Jews Maguna, Kovet. In other words, a very distinguished language, an honorable language, an elegant language, with eloquence. Then the Gemara goes further and says there were two Talmidim. They were sitting by a Rav, and he said a shiur. And the shiur was a long, difficult shiur. And when Rav finished the shiur and they got out, so one said to the other, I am like a fatigued goat after that shiur. And the other one said, this shiur tired me out, and I am like a fatigued dava acher. I am like a fatigued pig. That's what he said. When Rav heard the statements, he stopped talking to the Talmud that associated himself with a pig. Now, Chazir is in the Torah. The word Chazir is in the Torah Akdosha. So there's nothing wrong with that word. Rav won't talk to him anymore. Then the Gemara brings another case. Hanu tre Talmidi havi yasvi kamedi hilu. There were two Talmidim sitting in by Hillel. One was Rabbi Yehman Zakkai. Some say, no, the story was different. They were sitting before Rebbe, and one was Rabbi Yehanan. Okay. And they asked their Rebbe, be it Hillel, or be it Rabbi Yehanan and Zakkai, be it Rebbe, they asked him, why do we find that when you harvest grapes, you have to make sure that you're in a state of tahara, purity. Otherwise the grapes will become defiled. They will become tamei. But you and what you're using, the equipment you're using. But when you harvest olives, then the halach is you don't have to use equipment that is pure. The olives will not become defiled, not become tamei. It's talking in the case of Truma and so forth. What's the difference? So one said, why do we harvest grapes betahara, impurity, and we do not harvest olives impurity? The other one said, why do we harvest grapes betahara impurity, and we harvest olives in impurity? Tuma. The Rebbe, if it was Rebbe or Hillel, he said, he noticed, now both of you used a pretty good language, but he noticed one was very careful. Noticed one was careful to say, why do we harvest the grapes in purity and the olives, he didn't say, in a state of not purity, in a state, but we don't harvest it in purity. He used the language very carefully. So he didn't have anything against the second Talmud, but he said on the first Talmud, and that was to be Rabbi Yechman Zakkai or Rabbi Yechanan, who was the Rebbe of the Yishalmi, he said on him, Muftachani bozeh shemeira herab Yisrael. This one is going to be a great Baal Heira, a great Rav in Israel. A great judge in Israel. And that wasn't too long before he became a great judge in Israel. Another case it brings. There were three kahanim. And they were dividing up the lechem upon him. Every week, there were 12 loaves brought. And then on Shabbos, on the Shulchan, in the Beis Hamikdash, and then on Shabbos, they were taken off. They would stay there the whole week. And then on Shabbos they were taken off and they were divided up to the group of Kahanim that served that week. So sometimes you might not get too much. So there were three Kahanim and they were kind of complaining. He said, my portion was as big as a kful, like a bean or a pea. One says, I had a kazais, that's all. Chad Omar, another one said that my portion was as small as the tail of a lizard. Gizon of Halto. when the senior Kahanim, the seniors heard the discussion, and one used the word of a lizard when he's referring to the Lechem Aponim, they said, that's not a kosher person. There's something wrong with that person, especially a Kohen Yad. That is referring to the Lechem Aponim, and he used the parable of a tail of a lizard? No. So they started an investigation into his yichus, and they found there was a shemetz psul. They found that there was a problem in his yichus. This is what the Gemara speaks about. So we're going further. Not only are we saying the great power of words, but the Gemara is coming and telling us that even words which are 100% kosher, 1,000% kosher, the Torah is full of them. And we use them all the time. The Rabbonim use it. All the time in the Shurim. The Gemara says even in the marketplace, you should choose your words carefully. And there's another Gemara. The Gemara brings a Masechta Avodah Zarah. You test base. It says that a person, the tzaddikim, the righteous, will be like a great tree where the roots are palge mayim, the roots will be in, spread over different canals and streams. And puri yitain beitoi, their fruit they will give in the proper time. The alehu la yivol, and alehu la yivol. What does that mean? Even their leaves will not decay. This is a pasuk by David HaMelech in the beginning of Tehillim. So the Gemara dashes, what does it mean, aleo lo yivol, their leaves will not decay? What are the leaves of a person? Their fruit, okay. But what are the leaves? And it states, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach, yeah? So the Gemara says, pir yon yitein, bi'itoi, their fruits they will give forth, these are their words. These are their words of Torah, their words of mitzvahs. The aleihu la'yivol, and even their leaves will not decay. This is their sichas chulin, their idle chatter. Their fruits, that's their instruction, their shu'urim, that's their yirishamayim. But the leaves, what are the leaves of the Talmud Chochem, of the tzaddik? That'll be Sichas Chulin. The idle talk. The conversation. What does that mean? This is what their conversation will be full of. The Gemara says, Mikan, from here we learn, Shafilu Sichas Chulin shall tamide chachomim, Tzricha Talmud. That it's a mitzvah to go listen also to the idle conversation of Tamide chachomim. Because you'll be able to learn from it. You'll learn from it. Now, Rashi in Sukkah, where this is brought also, he says there you'll be able to learn many halachos. Because even in their idle talk, it'll be full. And they're talking conversation. But you'll learn a lot of Torah from it. So take the opportunity. Even if they're talking about politics, talk about the World Cup. You'll be able to learn from it, see. But here Rashi says something also you'll be able to learn. What is that? Rashi says, what can you learn from the Sichas Chulin Shel Chachomim? Because in Islami Lidabi Bilishenam, you learn how to talk like a mensch. That's what he says. You learn how to speak like a mensch. Shubaloshin Nikia, because they speak such a bright and sparkling language, the Aisha, and such a good vocabulary, such rich words. Umarpe. Marpe means it'll be such soothing words, sensitive words, with a sensitivity. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Go, you hear Talmidei Chachamim talking, even idle chatter. Go try to listen. Besides the Torah, you'll learn how one is supposed to speak. Now, from all of this, what do we have? We have, the Gemara says, you shouldn't say a word. Now, we're not talking about Dvorim Asurim. We're not talking where you're speaking Lashon Hara or Achilles or everything else like we said before. And there's Dvorim or Shkorim. And we're not talking either about what is known as Nivles Peh, obscene language, vulgar language. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about kosher talk, kosher words that the Torah uses, the Nach uses it, the Rabbanan used it. That's what we're talking about. Still, the Gemara says, if it's somewhat meguna, if it's a little derogatory, you shouldn't use it. You must find a better language. You see, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra is in Kuf Chav Gimel, where the Gemara says that the Torah, where it could, wouldn't say this is a behemah tameya, but a behemah sheina tahora, because it didn't want to be magana the behemah. It didn't want to use a worse word than it had to use in speaking about a shortcoming in an animal. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra. So you're supposed to use a calculated word, a soft word, a consoling word, Loshen Kovod, an honorable word, respectful, clean, bright, rich, dignified, eloquent. These are all the expressions the Gemara uses. Rashi says Loshen Sach, Umarpe, and so on. Now why? In other words, a man's supposed to speak like this is what was known as a gentleman, the genteel, a woman, a lady. But why? The Maral brings, we try to be very concise, contrary to what the world thinks. Speech is the main fruits of man. Not the cheapness. Well, you've got today billions of words going through the websites and the internets and the emails and the faxes and the discs and the dishes and the TV and everything and the publisher. Yeah. It's the main fruits of man. There is Machshava, there's his thoughts, his mentality, his intellect. There's his emotions of the heart, and there's his actions. But each one of those is only part of the man. It's not the entire man. When man was created, and he was created both from the heavens and the earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that he created him ofer min adoma, from the earth. Vayipak ma'apam nishmas chaim, he blew into his nostrils a living soul which is from the heavens. He was created from the heavens and the earth, and he encompassed the entire world, tachtonim and elyonim, the lower and the higher parts of the world. It says, v'yodam la'nefeshkaya. He became what was known as a nefeshkaya. In the Targum Umpel, it says, ruach mamalo. He became the speaker. And the sages always refer to the level of man, not as the thinker, not as the one who has feelings, and not as the one who can act. Now, he referred to the man as the medaber, the speaker. Speech calls on all of the resources of the human being. To speak, you need a good mind. You need emotions, and you need a body. We can't go into this at length. We've gone many times, but just one little example on that. That doctors who specialize in speech problems have told me. Sometimes it could be a mental problem. Sometimes it can be an emotional problem. Sometimes it can be a physical problem. While all other acts of a human being mobilize all of the resources of the human being for those particular acts, speech is the exception. And this is why the creation of man was called Nefesh Chaya, a living being, a speaker. And therefore the manifestation of his greatest abilities comes through the spoken words, through the word that he speaks. And this is why Shlema Melech referred to Ayaveo Yechalpirio. This is the fruit of man, or Nivs Vasayim. These are the fruit of the tongue, the fruit of the lips. Now, firstly, we all know the fruit is the sign, is the test of the tree. You want to know if it's a good tree or not? Eat the fruit. So the first thing is that you can tell a man by how he speaks. Because the way he speaks, and what he speaks about, and what he says, and so forth, everything that we've been speaking about, it comes from the very essence of man, that's a look into his soul and into the human being. If a person speaks very delicately Yiddish, very edel, very nicely, it's a good sign. He's a very, very good, nice man. If he speaks very coarse or very vulgar or so forth, not such a good sign. That's from one aspect. But there's a second aspect, which the Maral says. That just like it's the soul and all of the resources of the person, including the soul, creates, and the word that is being spoken, and therefore it formulates the word, and it has an impression on the word that's spoken has impression on the person. Because there's a bond created between the two. The fruit has an impression on the tree also. In this case, because there's a bond created between the two. And therefore, if a good person speaks in a bad way, that can change his personality. That can change who he is. And then even more so, not only is an association, not only is there a bond between he and the word, but there also becomes a bond between he and the word and what the word was spoken on, what the word was spoken about, or on what the word was spoken on. In other words, an association is made between all of it. And just as we know that good is the antithesis of evil, and purity is the antithesis of impurity, and therefore you have to distance yourself as much as possible, so is it here. If you're talking about something at a very high level like Kedusha, you have to distance itself from as much as possible from the opposite of it. If you're talking about something which is pure, you have to distance itself as much as possible I mean, the same thing in the physical world. If you have a stone, and you chip it, what's it going to do to the stone? A person has a stone. If you have a stone that's a little more precious and you chip it, creates a blemish. What happens if you have a diamond or a pearl, gold, and you chip it? The same little chip, you've destroyed it. Now with this, we can understand many of these Gemaras. You see, when they refer to the Lechem Ponim with a word that was a kosher word, but that association between to use that word with the on the Lechem HaKodesh and a Kohen who was Kodesh, it wasn't at all a good association. That's why the Torah thought, the Gemara thought, maybe only the Torah had to be calculated its words. Now, even in the marketplace, not as much as there, but because of the, and especially by Israel, by anyone who's B'Tzelem Elohim, but especially by Israel. There's a great power in the written word too. But that's one level down. Because writing also, the person takes his mentality and is able to put it on a piece of paper. So this also is an enormous power. But it's a little level down. That's why by many, many mitzvahs that were commanded to fulfill through Dibor, there's always the question in the authorities, can you fulfill it through writing also? In other words, what will be by Sfiris Eimer? If you didn't count, you didn't count the day with your mouth, but you wrote down the number of the day. Or by a Shvuah, you take an oath, but you don't pronounce it, you don't utter it, but you write it down. Some say it's the same, others say no, it's not Dibor. See? But it also has enormous power. So it comes out that besides the power of communication that a person communicates with the world through the spoken word or through the written word, this is the greatest force of the human being. Actually, we see what is done. I recently read a report. It was a report given out by the Pentagon in Washington, that they said, today we have to change our tactics, since the wars are no longer fought. That's what they said. We always know the wars are no longer fought with bows and arrows. Today it's fought with high tech, with nuclear, whatnot. He says, no, the wars are no longer fought with that. It says, today the main wars are fought with propaganda. This is what the Pentagon issued, and it says we have to change our tactics because we're losing that war. Because if you look, I mean, here you have the Muslim wars. You know, like we were discussing the other day, someone said, not all Muslims are terrorists. True. But all terrorists are Muslims. Yet, they can go around relentlessly, blowing up everything they feel like blowing up. Nobody does anything about it. Like we mentioned the other day, the Red Cross comes out against Israel. It's illegal to target civilians. Yet, if you look in the encyclopedia, I saw in the recent encyclopedia, what's the definition of terrorism? The definition of terrorism are those who go after civilian targets to advance their political interests. That's what a terrorist. Did you ever hear the Red Cross come out against a terrorist? What was hijacking the planes? They didn't hijack military planes. It's too difficult. They hijacked civilian planes. What do they blow up? They blow up military installations. Too difficult. They blow up pizza parlors. They blow up wedding halls, cafes, whatever. Trains, buses, schools. But why doesn't anybody say anything? Why doesn't the world come out? So the Pentagon wrote, we're losing the war of propaganda. because they have so much propaganda behind them. Even today, with all of this, everybody's totally confused. This is the power, the enormous power, where you could distort the whole world. But besides all of this, this is the essence of the person. And therefore he has to, the Gemara says, he has to, especially a Jew, he has to calculate all of his speech. Certainly when it's talking about Divrei Torah, Dvorim Kedoshim, but all of his speech, where it's refined, it's soft, it's beautiful, it's consoling, it's respectful, it's bright, it's clean, Tzach, it says, Rashi brings, and so forth. That's why it says, go listen to the way the Talmidei Chachomim speak, you'll learn from there. I remember the old Talmidei Chachomim, especially the Lithuanians, always spoke in that fashion. This is important, like we mentioned with children. Now, if we take a look at our world, the Gemara brings that, for example, besides all the Isuri, the Loshen Isha that we spoke about, not the Loshen Hara or whatever, the Gemara brings to speak vulgar language, or obscene, or promiscuity, disgusting language. Now here the Gemara is referring to the furthest connotation, furthest inference. The Gemara brings great sorrows on the world. I remember if Gifter once mentioned this Gemara. This is a Gemara in Shabbos in Perek Bame Madlikin Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. He once mentioned it in a Sikha, and he didn't want to even say over. He didn't want to verbalize what the punishment for the world, or to the individual, to the world is. But this is Nor of Oyam in our society. This is unbelievable. And it says even a Shonei Avisesek, even someone who listens to it, and he's silent. It's what our world is today. That billions and billions of words, either spoken or written, is passed through every day. If it's lies, if it's vulgar, if it's promiscuous, violent, whatever. This is the barrage of the world today that we're living in. I always tell the story that when I was a young boy, we had long summer vacations in America. Went for 2.5, about 10 weeks, 11 weeks. So we used to look for jobs. And we were in high school. We couldn't get jobs in that you needed qualifications for. So it would be anything that we could do. So one time I saw an advert that there was a furniture company that was changing premises or whatever it was. They needed people to help load the trucks. All right, so I went down and got a job there for the summer. So you can imagine it wasn't. They said, no, the people I'm working with didn't have doctorates or honors. So they weren't from the highest level of society. So I remember once there was a break, sit under the tree and brought your lunch with you. So there was one kid, non-Jewish kid, and one of the clerks, the lady clerks, was around there. And he started to use some foul language. And there was an older non-Jew there, an older guy. He looks at him and he says, "You don't talk like that in front of a lady. You don't talk like that." And the foul language wasn't that bad. He says, "You don't talk like that in front of a lady." Now, today, the ladies talk 100 times worse. In public. They go to in public. People tell me they leave the yeshiva, they're in for a shock. He says, the language that's used by the men and the ladies. Yet alone in all of the TV shows or the discs or whatnot. You see how far we've fallen. This was by a goy, not a Jew. Then another case is that it used to be amongst the more eloquent society of Europe that if they would have a get together, a dinner party or something, at the end of dinner, the ladies would retire to one room for tea, and the men would retire to another room where they'd have their cigars and brandy. So I once asked someone, why? What was that? I mean, you couldn't say that they were like Muslims that didn't want to sit together because they had the whole dinner together. So what was the purpose? So he said, no, it was a simple purpose. Because the men were very, very constrained during the dinner. They couldn't speak freely with each other because you don't talk that way in front of women. So this was giving the chance for the gentlemen to relax. They'll have their brandy and have a cigar and they talk freely. So you see, even amongst the goyim, there was these standards. Then one final point. I had a friend I used to teach with in St. Louis, and he brought up a few sons, and they were wonderful. They were just wonderful, wonderful children in every possible way. So I once asked him. He actually was from an old Yishalmi family, but the kids were American. He came to America. So I once asked him, how did you bring up such wonderful, nice kids? So he says he was always very, very, very strict with the children and what came out of the mouth and how they spoke. How they spoke to their mother, how they spoke to their father. That they wouldn't say a lie. How they spoke to each other, how they spoke to anyone older than them. That's what he did. How they spoke to a teacher. Today the schools are in ruination. They are total churban. Kids speak to a teacher the way that another person won't speak to his own friend or who knows what. And the parents, there's no parental support for it. They just rationalize it. They say, well, after all, this is the situation. And this is what the Gaon emphasizes over and over. You would think the Gaon would talk about who knows what. He says, you must pound it into them when they're young. Don't listen, he says, to the foolishness of the people, but they're just children. Because if you don't do it when they're young, they will never do it. Hergo shelet al kol dover. Because it's what a person learns in his youth, that's what he carries with him the rest of his life. So this gives us an insight into what does it mean, the keach hadibur, the power of speech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the person. And Shlomo HaMelech said, Hamoves v'achayim biyad haloshon. Death and life is in the hands of the tongue, and he means it literally. Those who love to talk will eat from its fruits. Those who love to talk badly will eat from its fruits. Those who love to talk what's good will eat from its fruits.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.